Expedia and Visit Scotland invite you to come experience the beauty that awaits in Scotland. The sweep of wild coastlines, quiet lochs and untamed landscapes. Fresh cuisine that feels rooted in the land. Come experience the kind of stillness that stays with you long after you leave. Plan your Scottish escape today at expedia.com/visit Scotland.
Ready to soundtrack your summer? With Red Bull Summer All Day Play, you choose a playlist that fits your summer vibe the best. Are you a festival fanatic, a deep end DJ, a road dog, or a trail mixer? Just add a song to your chosen playlist and put your summer on track. Red Bull Summer All Day Play. Red Bull gives you wings. Visit redbull.com/brightsummerahead to learn more. See you this summer.
Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with acclaimed roots and blues rocker Matthew Curry. He will kick off his 2026 Spring and Summer One for the Ride tour with the first show taking place at Knucklehead Saloon on May 21st, 2026, right here in Kansas City, Missouri. We also get into his new album that is the reason for the tour and One for the Ride, along with his life in the world of music. This new album captures his life on the road, his love for storytelling, and the musical influences that have shaped him over the years. Born and raised in Bloomington, Illinois, he picked up the guitar at the age of 4, was performing live by 8, and leading his own band by 11. His distinctive blend of blues, rock, southern rock, and old school country has earned him a devoted audience across the globe. Over the years, he's toured with major icons, including the Doobie Brothers, Steve Miller Band, Peter Frampton, Journey, and so many others. We get into his full, flavor-rich story. Enjoy this interview.
I like that routine myself. So where are you located?
I am in Bloomington, Illinois.
Okay, excellent. Well, I'm in the middle, obviously, in Kansas City, Missouri. You're coming to Knuckleheads May 21st. You got a new album, a lot of action going on, so I'm looking forward to getting into it. Thank you for taking a minute out today.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I'm super thrilled to be here. This is going to be great. We're excited to be back at Knuckleheads, too. What a fabulous venue that is.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Yeah, it's definitely a gem on the Kansas City landscape, and should be a lot of excitement in the air. The World Cup's going to be here. There's going to be a lot going on, so it's good for sure.
Very cool. Very cool.
So let's begin our journey here with, I want to know, 6 years ago, this pandemic was changing the shape of so much that was going on in the world, especially with musicians. How did you get through that era, and how has it influenced the way that you create and tour and do things today?
Well, that was certainly a tough little stint, I think, for everybody. Admittedly, I had a lot of time, free time, that I probably, looking back, should have spent writing about 6 new records because, we weren't out on the road. There was, we couldn't work. We couldn't go out and play. Weirdly enough, I did do some writing and stuff, but I kicked myself a little bit. I wasn't as productive as I probably should have been. I spent a lot of time just at the time I was living in Tennessee. So I spent a lot of time just going out, either canoeing or kayaking or riding around on my motorcycle and just actually taking some time, to do kind of nothing. Looking back, I should have been much more productive, but, for once in my life, I had a chance to.
This NBA playoffs with FanDuel, you're not just watching the playoffs, you're a part of them.
And we're back. Steve's got the phone, opens FanDuel, locks in player points. Quick fingers, you love to see it. Now he's going for threes. Big night for Steve-O.
Be a part of the action and get better payouts this NBA playoffs on FanDuel. 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-MY-RESET.
Kind of relax a bit, but going forward, it's, I think, a lot. The biggest thing that I've noticed that changed is the touring part of it. We lost a lot of really great venues that had been around for a long time. I think touring, and I'm not, one to complain. We've got a busy schedule, and I'm very thankful. But I think it's gotten a little harder. It's more expensive. Getting some of the deals and stuff, that maybe used to exist pre-COVID, or it's a little more difficult to track that kind of stuff down. But all in all, man, I'm just really thrilled that that's all in the rearview mirror now, and that we're able to just get back to, you know, I think it was maybe around 23 when we started hitting the road again, just full time, you know, pedal to the metal. So it really, looking back, it wasn't like a super long period, but it sure felt like it at the time. That's for sure.
Yeah, it sure did. So One for the Ride is the new album. You're going to be out on the road promoting it. You're coming to Kansas City. Have you been here before to play?
Yeah. Actually, been in Kansas City a handful of times. I think this is my third or fourth time playing Knuckleheads. So one of my favorite spots for sure.
Right on. So what is it like to come to Kansas City? I mean, what is it? What's the crowd feel like? What goes through your head when you step? I mean, we have obviously a steeped history in jazz, a great music scene consistently. What is it like to be able to be a part of that lineage for a night?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. The music scene there is just fabulous. And I think, you know, you mentioned early on, it's kind of a gem out there in the Midwest for anybody to hit. And every time we come through, it's a good crowd. They're there because they're fans of the band, or they maybe, you know, word of mouth heard of the band, and you know, hopefully by the end of the night they're leaving as a new fan if they weren't already. And got some friends that live in the area that always come out and hang, and it's just, you know, always a really good time. So and Knuckleheads in particular is just a super unique, great venue, and sounds great. It's just got a vibe to it, you know, as soon as you step in. So we're thrilled to be coming back for sure.
So let's get to the beginnings of your journey. Take me back to where you were born and raised, and how did music become your destiny?
Well, born and raised here in Bloomington, Illinois. And my father, you know, would sit around the house strumming his acoustic guitar. And it just, you know, immediately caught my ear. He was always playing music on the radio, whether it was in the house or in the truck, whatever. And it just drew me in kind of instantly. So I think I was four when he got him and my mom got me and my brother these little matching, I think they were First Act, like small scale acoustic guitars. I don't know if that's a brand that's still going. I think it's like a Walmart brand.
Yeah.
And I would just sit on the floor in front of his recliner and try to, you know, watch what he was doing. He would show me chords and stuff. And I was very fortunate that he was really well connected in the music scene throughout Central Illinois. All his friends were musicians, played in bands, a lot of blues, Southern rock stuff. So they all kind of took me in under their wing from the time that I was like 7 or 8. And I started going and sitting in with these folks or going to rehearsals and jamming with them. And just kind of was an obsession for my entire life, really.
So what was the first live show that you caught early on that made you think, I want to do that one day? I want to be up there on that stage.
Well, the one that I really kind of have etched in my memory is here in Bloomington. Our local college radio station used to do a festival every summer called the WGLT Summer Concert Festival. It was something along those lines. And they would have like a night every summer where they'd have three bands, usually like a local act, then kind of a regional act, and then an international touring act. Usually it was more kind of, they were like a blues and jazz radio station. So typically they leaned in that direction genre-wise. And I remember, I think I was probably, you know, 10 or maybe a little younger. I'm not sure. And my parents took me out to see the show. And this blues band called Mississippi Heat was headlining. And, you know, this is my first time as a young guy seeing the big festival stage and the line array speakers and the light show and all this. And I remember telling my parents, like, you know, someday I'm going to be up on that stage doing that. And then I think, you know, when I was about 17 or 18, just getting out of high school and we were just embarking on touring nationally and internationally, we got the call to go play that headline slot at the GLT Fest. So that was kind of something that did come full circle and was a really cool moment. But that was the first moment I remember thinking, like, this is just the coolest thing I've ever seen.
So let me ask you this. You obviously had a dream of being a professional musician. and getting up and playing shows and putting out albums. What has been the difference between the dream that you had of what your life was going to be like and then actually living this life as a professional musician? What's that space in between the dream and reality?
Yeah, well, it's there's a mixture of both things that have kind of come true, so to speak. You know, we got very fortunate, my band and myself, right when we started touring in 2013, when I was getting out of high school. And we got really fortunate that I signed with a large talent agency out of Monterey, California, and management company. And they started putting us almost right away on these huge arena tours, opening for people like the Steve Miller Band and Peter Frampton and the Doobie Brothers, Journey, a lot of these 70s rock icons. So right away, you know, here I am like 18 years old doing these anywhere between 5 to 15,000 seat arenas and amphitheaters every night, opening for these giants in the rock world. And my 18-year-old mind was like, it's all uphill from here. It's never going to change, you know, by a matter of, you know, in a matter of years, you know, we'll be on the top of the world. And then things change in the business and stuff. And there's highs and lows, and you ride both waves, the highs and the lows. And obviously sometimes things like that do have to come to an end, or at least take a pause. And, you know, the funny thing is we kind of skipped the whole, right out of the gate with touring, skipped the whole building, you know, cutting our teeth in the club scene, so to speak. And so, you know, basically right before COVID is when we kind of started getting back into that world and saying, okay, we need to get back into these smaller markets and develop these clubs. And suddenly you show up and, you know, there's not four or five buses outside loading stuff and a beautiful spread of catering and roadies and stuff carrying all your stuff. You're like, oh shit, back to reality, you know, which is perfect. It's fine. I love both equally and have learned how to appreciate every part of the lifestyle. Just thankful to still be doing it and to be able to make a living doing it. Granted, we're not out here getting rich at this stage in my career, but we're certainly having a lot of fun. And if we can keep roofs over everyone's heads, then, you know, I'll take it.
I like it. So, yeah. You know, during that dream stage of you getting into touring and becoming a professional, was there a stage that you were like, I really want to play that one day? And then you finally got on that stage. Was there a dream stage where you had to pinch yourself that you played on?
I think all that kind of happened for me after it had already happened.
Yeah.
Because it happened so quick, as I mentioned, out of the gate. You know, I got out of high school and then we immediately, you know, spent like 3 summers doing these massive tours and playing huge festivals throughout all over the world. And so when it was happening, or even before it had happened, I didn't really have a chance to know the weight, to understand the weight of what I was doing at the time. It just kind of felt natural. And I don't mean this in any sort of like cocky way. It just felt like it was supposed to happen. And then after things settled down, so to speak, and we were kind of back into slugging it out in the van and trailer for 10-hour days and, you know, in the club scene and stuff, which again, no qualms about doing that. I love both. But then it was when it started setting in, like, wow, you know, we got to play Jones Beach Amphitheater out in New York and, you know, the original site of Woodstock and this, you know, these huge festivals in Australia and Canada and stuff. And it was like, I didn't realize what was happening while it was happening or before. And you know, one thing that did strike me, though, like I remember getting calls for some of those large tours and the agent would say, hey, you know, Steve Miller Band looking for an opening act for, you know, a month or whatever, 2 months this summer. I'm like, oh, Steve Miller Band. I'm like, oh, yeah, the Joker, Take the Money and Run. And I'd start, you know, researching. I'm like, oh, I forgot all about, you know, Jungle, of all these other massive hits. And so that was really cool. Once we got into it, it's just like, you know, these bands just get up and play their set and it's hit after hit after hit. And that was kind of surreal to be like, wow, we're a part of this. You know?
Yeah. Do you remember one of the first fans that came up to you that complimented you that stuck? Or have you had interactions like that that have just stuck in your mind and you can't shake it because it was such a good compliment, just such a good thing that happened?
Oh, I can't, I can't recall anything too, specific. Anytime a fan comes up and has something good to say is just good to me. And I think a lot of times, you know, there's comparisons. So, and we're human, we do that. You know, as a musician, I still hear somebody's new record and go, oh, well, that reminds me of this. And we all do that. We're human. So in my early years, I was definitely getting a lot of, oh, you sound just like Johnny Lang or such and such. And, you know, and to me, I take that as a massive compliment. These are guys that I grew up listening to and were big fans of. But I can't say there's anything too specific. Like I said, we're just happy for him to come up and say hello and that they stuck around the whole show and that we didn't scare them away.
You know, the one thing that's happening right now in America, there's a lot of stressful things, especially just the climate, politics, everything that's happening. And I think people are craving entertainment and live music more than ever. I think there's this desire to get out and to have some level of escape from all of the headlines and to get into this world of art. And I think artists and musicians have a very special place in this modern pantheon of history to give that to them. Is that something that goes through your mind now when you're touring and giving people music and giving them that time to just purely melt away into the music?
Well, I can't say it's something that has specifically crossed my mind. I will say it's a beautiful thing to be able to do, and to, you know, knowing that all things climate and stuff aside, that people can get together in a room around this thing that's happening and have a great time and have a couple drinks and cut loose a little bit and have some fun and just rock out. And that's a really pleasing thing to know. You know, sometimes that's like another one of those things that I think maybe I'm so invested in kind of what we're doing musically, making sure I'm trying to sing on pitch and not hit any wrong notes or whatever, that we're so focused on that live that it almost is like one of those things. Okay, you're laying in the bed at the hotel room after the show, you're like, wow, you know, how lucky are we to be able to get to bring these people together despite of what their beliefs or religion or any of that outside stuff is, and everyone gets together and just has a wonderful time for the music. That's kind of something that maybe sets in a little bit after the fact, perhaps maybe not while on stage.
So if you could get into a time machine and go back in time and see one performance, one band, one musician, where are you going? Who are you going to go see?
Oh, that's tough, man. You got some, this is a fun one. I really like these. You got some great questions, man. That's tough. I think the guitar player in me would have to say Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
It would be hard to not say like the Beatles or something of that nature too, or the Allman Brothers at Fillmore East or something, you know. There's so many, and there's people now that are still with us that I, you know, my wife and I always talk about, like, oh, if Stevie Wonder ever tours again, I don't care how much it costs, we're getting tickets, you know. Or if Pink Floyd ever put their differences aside, you know, we're getting tickets, you know. So,
yeah.
But going back, I'd have to say, I have to imagine it'd be like a religious experience having seen Jimi Hendrix perform live.
For sure. So let me ask you this. You know, on tour, I mean, things probably move at a blinding rate. What is kind of your general philosophy when you get to town? Do you try to do something? Do you try to get a plate of food? Like for Kansas City, is it like you all are like, all right, we got to get barbecue, or we got to see this, or we got to go to this museum? Is there something that you try to like check mark off your list, or how does that work on tour?
If we have time, certainly. Yeah. We're all baseball fans. So like, if we say like we got to Kansas City a day early, it'd be like, oh, well, let's see if the Royals are playing, you know? That's one thing we all share in common in the band. As you mentioned, we just kind of go at a light speed rate. So it's, you know, a lot of times there's not a chance to do that. A lot of times it's just trying to find any form of normalcy. It's like, okay, you show up, load in, do sound check. You got a little time to go to the hotel. It's like, maybe I'll try to see if they have a gym and get the blood flowing a little bit beforehand and try to stay healthy on this, you know, journey that's somewhat hard to do because you're constantly like, well, trying to avoid the McDonald's or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And then, you know, try to find a good meal somewhere and go play the show. And then it's, you know, if you'd asked me the question 10 years ago, it'd have been, we would have all gathered somewhere probably at a bar and stayed up till 4 a.m. and been carrying on. But now it's like, how can I maximize the amount of time that I'm sleeping and yeah, getting rest and stuff? So,
yeah, for sure. What's the last vinyl that you put on that turntable?
That would have been Dark Side of the Moon, actually.
Right. Very cool. Yeah. So May 21st is the big show.
That's the one.
If anybody wants to get a copy, or not a copy, if they want to get tickets to the show, I'm getting jamming it all together for One for the Ride. So if anybody wants to get tickets to the show, they want to get a copy of One for the Ride, I know it's streaming. What's the best way to do all of that?
Well, for tickets, it's real easy. They can either go to my website, which is matthewcurry.com, and then go to the tour page. There's a link on there. Or of course they can go direct to the Knuckleheads Saloon website and tickets are available on there. You can like scroll through the calendar view and pick May 21st, which is a Thursday, I believe. And the tickets are available on there. Of course, we'll have vinyls and CDs, hats, shirts, stickers, all the good stuff for people to take home for sale. Just got a fresh batch of vinyl in like early last week. So we'll have it all available there too.
Yeah, sounds good, man. Hey, thank you so much for taking a minute out today. It was great to meet you. Have a great time in Kansas City. Have a great tour. I really appreciate it.
Hey, Joe, thanks so much for having me. It was a pleasure to talk to you, and hopefully we'll see you out May 21st.
Yeah. Thanks for listening and tuning into another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players and minds in Bloomington, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. And thanks to Matthew for his time and story. If you want to hear more Neon Jazz interviews, you can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to us at YouTube, and for everything Neon Jazz, go to theneonjazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.